This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So E.T. enters this car and tries to steal it, tries to drive it.
Go on. That's right.
Carjacked it.
That's correct. All right, so then what happened next? We're going to continue, right?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Yep, all right. So what happened next is whatever this creature was or being was, he started talking to the two men in the car in this high-pitched bird chirping noise that they couldn't figure out what he was saying. I mean, it was certainly no language that they knew of. The gentleman on the right started freaking out completely. He bust out of the passenger door and started running away. He said, you know what, I'm out of here. He was in panic state. He completely lost it. By this time, the other being, he popped out of the craft and started chasing this guy that just left the passenger door. About 2 minutes later, he came back, the being, went back into the craft. The other being who was driving the car, he went back into the craft. The bubble transparency canopy tipped down, and then this thing flew away. And this was reported in the newspaper clippings. So this is one of these cases within the QFOS archives. It's talked about a little bit. It's still obscure. And I thought, it's stretching the level of credibility. But when you talk about this subject, all bets are off. We can't just discount it just because it's crazy, because the police interviewed these two men. They weren't drinking. They weren't on drugs. There's a large report on this. There's a sketch on this. So I felt might as well at least cover it. And in some cases, I've talked about this in a couple of lectures, but it does, to be honest, it does strain the credibility level. So, but it's still an interesting case.
And it's actually never been proven it's a fake.
I don't think it's ever been proven as a fake, but a lot of people questioned it, I can tell you that. A lot of people questioned it because they thought that the two men were drinking, they were drunk, but the police report indicated that they weren't, so it's kind of in their favor. It's still in their favor. After all this time, it's still in their favor.
Yeah, it's one of these stories that, you know, you'd think that if somebody was going to hoax a report for whatever reason, especially when the police get involved,
right?
You know, you would think that they would go a little bit, you know, I mean, a little bit lower key rather than having their car, you know, carjacked by a little hamburger-faced men from a UFO. I mean, to me, that almost lends a bit of credibility to me, because why would somebody make up something quite that crazy?
I know. I mean, when you hear about that, right off the bat, the giggle factor kicks in. But when you start looking at the case and the fact that the police got involved, they interviewed them the very same day, probably within the same hour. They weren't drinking. They were certainly not drunk. And so, yeah, it adds credibility to the case. Absolutely.
There's another case in your book that probably was right up there with the ones that, you know, that you like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And this involved, and let me find it real quick.
We are now going to listen to the sound of scrolling through a file.
Yeah, scroll, scroll, scroll. Well, I mean, it's easy enough. I mean, it involved a I think he was an engineer at an Air Force base that
right.
came across a fish shaped UFO across the highway.
That's basically my favorite case within this whole book.
It's a great case. I can see why it's your favorite.
Oh yeah, I love this case. Yeah, it's definitely my favorite Project Blue Book case. Now we can go through this case. Here's the sighting. This is basically the background here. It's March 23rd, 1966. This is Temple, Oklahoma. The primary, and this is a Project Blue Book case. This is not my case. This is the United States Air Force Project Blue Book case. It's got an index card. And this can be verified by David Marler. He actually has the 15-page report. He's got a copy of the index card. The original sketch is there, too, so very well documented. So he's driving down the road. It's about 5:03 in the morning, March 23rd, 1966, Temple, Oklahoma. And it's still a little bit dark. There's a slight bit of twilight because the sun's coming up, so there's a little bit of light, but it's still somewhat gray and dark out. He's driving down the road, and all of a sudden, his headlights hit something that's basically parked perpendicular to the road, and it's been described, and you kind of mentioned it. This thing looks like a large bowling pin laying on the side. It's also been kind of described as a fish or perch-like device. And it's 75 feet long. It's about 8 feet tall. It's talked about in the book, or I've got it referenced. The very beginning part of it at the forward end of the craft was a bubble transparent canopy that looked like it came from a World War II B-26 bomber. The whole thing was about 3 feet off the ground on these pogo landing gear legs. And then a little bit aft of the bubble transparent canopy, there were two beaming spotlights that were going straight down. Above them, there were spotlights pointing forward. And then just aft of the forward two landing gear legs, there was an air stair door. And standing next to the door was a man. He was wearing two-piece green military fatigues. He had a baseball cap with the bill turned off. He was shining a flashlight at the bottom of this air stair door like he was investigating something or checking on something. That's the impression by Eddie Laxon. Now, above him, there was a stinger or spire that tapered back and terminated into about an 8-inch diameter ball. Just aft of this stinger device, there was about a 3.5-foot diameter porthole window that was divided into 4 equal pie segments. Just aft of that were the letters, and this was extremely, extremely stressed in this report, written in black letters vertically, TL4768, written on the side of the craft. At the very end of this craft, there were two little flight controls that were way too small to be aerodynamically effective. That's what it looked like. Basically had no visible means of propulsion. Now, when this man with the green two-piece military green fatigues, when he saw that he was being watched by Eddie Laxon, he climbed up this air stair door. He shut the door. Then in the Project Blue Book file, it said there was a high-pitched drilling noise, like someone was starting something up, a high-pitched drilling noise. This thing hovered off the ground for about 50 feet, stood there for 30 seconds, and then departed like a spark on a grinding wheel. This is back in 1966. This is 3 years before Apollo 11 when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. Now, Eddie Laxon got back in the car. He drove another half mile down the road, and he came across a truck driver. The passenger side door was open, and the truck driver was standing on the running boards. And when Eddie Laxon drove up to him, he got out of his car, went up to the truck driver and said, "Are you okay? Can I help you?" And this driver described to Mr. Laxon the exact same craft that he had seen like a minute earlier. So we have two different sources that confirm this actually took place.
And what was, how did Project Blue Book categorize this? Swamp gas?
Well, I can read you. I'll just read you what they're calling here. This case is carried as unidentified since after evaluation of all the available information, no concrete explanation is possible. Note, second observer has not returned the requested Form 164. Now, I've got his original sketch. I'm looking at it right now, and it's extremely out of scale. I mean, he did the best he could, and that's perfectly fine. But if you look at the dimensions, this is all in the book, 75 feet across, 8 feet tall. He's way out of scale. So I spent a day going through all the reports on this and fixing this. And what's interesting, within the report, he said that this man carrying the flashlight, he had what looked like military insignia, ranking insignias on his arms or like just above his elbow. That's what it looked like. When you see these naval admirals and they have these ranking symbols on their suit, that's exactly what he said that this guy looked like.
We've got more to come, by the way, with Michael Schratt, and we're looking at his pictorial book about cases that don't get the kind of emphasis we give Roswell, Dark Files. With Tim Swartz as your special guest co-host, I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Pedicast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So interesting, Michael, about the fact that the case you're telling me about, the beings seen are largely human.
Largely human. That's exactly correct.
What is particularly strange, because we hear so often now of little gray men, not green men, but gray men.
Well, I'm just going by what the witnesses are describing. I'm not adding or taking anything away. Sure. I've got a source here, the Daily Oklahoman, March 1st, 1971, so people can verify this on their own. And the headline here, Object Sighting Now Rude. They have a picture of Mr. Laxon here, and they have a very nice drawing of the craft. Whoever did this did a really nice job. This is very similar to what he described. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article, but there's one little sentence here that I want to highlight. Now, this is Eddie Laxon speaking. This is within the article. Quote, "What I saw was definitely not from space. The man was wearing fatigues and had a cap with the bill broken up like Air Force mechanics wear," Laxon said. "It had common English letters on it." So even he felt that this was something man-made. It was not an alien. It was not an extraterrestrial. This was a man. He said that he was so close to this guy with the flashlight that if he saw him later that afternoon in downtown, he could recognize him. That's how close he was.
Has anybody attempted to see the letters and numbers on the side, if that was any kind of identifiable, you know, like aircraft? I'm not sure what the terminology would be, but used, you know, with the Air Force or Navy aircraft?
I've tried to figure out what this means, and I think it could have something to do with the Atomic Energy Commission. I don't know that for a fact, but no, to my knowledge, no one has been able to decipher what TL4768 means or what it stands for.
The other interesting aspect of this story is the antenna or whatever you would call it on top that ends in a ball. Now, I know that there are other reports in your book that these craft have similar configurations.
Couldn't have said it better myself. There's at least 15 separate cases within the historical archives now of these UFOs that have prongs sticking out, protrusions, and at the end of these protrusions, there's a ball there, like it's some type of static electrical discharge unit or something you would see on a Wimshurst generator. All you have to do is do a Google search on Wimshurst generator, and you'll see these prongs sticking out with these balls at the end of them, some type of static electrical discharge. That's what I'm thinking could possibly be the explanation for this, because it seemed very clear that whatever this thing was, or however it flew, high voltage electricity was intimately involved in the entire propulsion system. And this is back in 1966. And if this is one of ours, which it certainly looks like it is, because there was a man flying it, had English markings on it, he was wearing a baseball cap, why was Neil Armstrong not briefed about this? He's going to risk his life on a Saturn V rocket that has 7,700,000 pounds of thrust with this liquid rocket. Yet we have this craft here. It doesn't have any rockets. It doesn't have any liquid rockets, solid rockets, no real moving parts whatsoever. And this is 3 years before Apollo 11. Was Neil Armstrong told about this? That's my question.
It reminds me of Nick Cook's book when he was referencing the studies that were going on, especially in the early to mid 1950s, about various work being done on field propulsion or anti-gravity. And then all of a sudden, around 1960, it was just like everything just stopped. It was like there was a wall of silence that had been clamped down. And then shortly thereafter, you start seeing these reports like this one of UFOs being piloted by decidedly human-looking occupants.
That's right. Well done. That's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
Just go by what the witnesses are describing and just go where it leads you. And that's the direction it's going here. That's what it looks like. That's someone made a breakthrough.
Well, the breakthrough to me says that some of these craft may have been conventional test aircraft, but the descriptions are due in part to human error, or perhaps Walter Bosley's theory about a breakaway civilization is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think there's a lot of good research that Walter's done. He deserves a lot of credit. I really think he's done some good legwork on that.
He's been one of our most interesting guests.
Yep.
I think one of the confusing aspects about a lot of this is that a lot of these sightings, the descriptions of the craft seem to be like one-off, that you know, you'd never see or never hear about another description like that again. The case that you first talked about in the show, I mean, I don't think that you've got that one, and I don't think we've ever heard about anything similar to that one ever again.
Yep, it's a one-off. It's a very low production run, if there's a production run at all. So I agree with you. It's a one-off. If they built any of these in any kind of quantity, it'd be very low quantity. Maybe one, two, or three. I don't see them building dozens or hundreds of these. No, these are one-off prototype, proof of design concepts. And the fact that he parked this thing perpendicular to a road indicates that maybe he was having problems with the propulsion system. He was making repairs. He was trying to fix something. And that's why he had to make an emergency landing on the road. That's what it sounds like to me, anyway.
One of the cases that also strikes me as being something terrestrial is Cash Landrum.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, it's one that we've talked about a number of times in the PowerCast. One of our guest co-hosts, Kurt Collins, has done a lot of investigations into that one. But there you have people who are infected with something, ionizing radiation, whatever, and suffer these lasting effects. And they're dealing with something there that seems like a physical aircraft. And how many of these more fantastic UFOs cause that kind of effect?
Well, we certainly have got CE2 cases where it shut down car engines. It caused static on the radio. That's something we've heard of multiple times. Absolutely. So as far as the radiation is concerned, yep, there's Michelin Man cases with radioactive traces in the ground. So it's not completely unheard of.
Caution, UFOs are dangerous to your health.
Do not approach. There was another case in your book that also involved electrical activity. And again, you know, scroll.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to create a sound of scrolling, except the sound may not be too friendly, so it will not appear on this part of the PowerCast, on our premium show after the PowerCast, where there's no censoring, where it's not family friendly or anything. We might actually there do it, but right here I don't think so. He's going to have that case in just a moment. In the meantime, Tim Swartz is our guest co-host. Michael Schratt is our guest. And we're looking at Dark Files, a pictorial history of lost, forgotten, and obscure UFO encounters. I'm Gene Steinberg. I hope I'm not that obscure. You're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
A mosque in the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol has reportedly become the latest target of Russian shelling as the invasion continues. More than 80 people, including children, were sheltering there, according to Ukrainian officials. The number of casualties is not known. The city has already been hit hard by the Kremlin. The estimated death toll was more than 1,200 since the start of the invasion. Meanwhile, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky continues to encourage his people to resist the Russians. He said the Kremlin would need to carpet bomb the capital, Kyiv, and kill its residents to take the city. Over in China, they are reinstating COVID restrictions to limit the spread of the coronavirus in several cities. The country is dealing with a spike in infections with less than 600 new confirmed cases reported on Friday. The Texas Supreme Court stopped the last challenge to the state law that practically bans abortions in the state. This is USA Radio News. A Wisconsin man with a long rap sheet is about to go to trial for allegedly running over people during a Christmas parade.
Daryl Brooks Jr., the man accused of driving through a Christmas parade deliberately and killing six people in Wisconsin, will go to trial in October. Brooks Jr. appearing in court on Friday, where a judge ruled his trial will start October 3rd. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A Columbus, Ohio police officer has been cleared of criminal wrongdoing in the shooting death of 16-year-old Makia Bryant. She was fatally wounded by Officer Nicholas Reardon as she swung a knife at a young woman. Police were called to Bryant's foster home about a group of girls threatening to stab other household members. The Justice Department is now doing a review of the Columbus Police Department. Nervousness over Russia's invasion of Ukraine caused a fifth straight losing week for the Dow, which closed down Friday 230 points. The Nasdaq lost 286 points. The S&P 500 was off by 55. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Tim, the case that you scrolled to, did you find it?
Yes, I have found it, Gene. And this is the case, and I know that this is probably one of Mike's favorite one, and this is the one that took place in, and I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this name, is it Colusa, California?
That's correct.
In 1976. This is a fascinating case because, once again, it involves electricity.
What we've got here is, date is May 26, 1979, Colusa, California, and it's about 11:30 p.m. at night. The primary eyewitness is basically watching TV. He's alone in the living room. His wife and two kids are sleeping in the bedroom. And the power goes out. Essentially, the TV goes out and concurrently the air conditioning unit goes out. So he goes out of the house. He looks at the circuit breaker box, pulls open the circuit breaker box, and the first thing he notices is that the hair on his arms, the hair on his chest, and the hair on his head not only sticks up vertically, but is crackling. The entire localized area had the static electrical field. He looks up. He sees this 140-foot diameter disc-shaped craft hovering above the house area there at low altitude. And on the top of it, it has a dome that looks like a lemon squeezer, these vintage lemon squeezers with these ridges on it, or like an orange juice squeezer. That's what this thing looked like. Now, on the bottom of it, it had six conduit pipes that tapered in fray edges, and I recently thought about what's a better way to describe these conduit pipes. So I came up with ramen noodles, because that's exactly what these things look like. They look like ramen noodles hanging down. So here's another one of these cases where you have prongs and protrusions sticking out of the craft. Now, on kind of the left and right-hand side bottom of the craft, there were these double prong hooks sticking out of this thing. And when he looked off to the left, he could see the same shape craft as the one that was above him, but it was half the diameter.
and it was pulling power off the 500,000-volt power lines, causing them to become cherry red. So right there, it's a CE2 case. Next thing that happened is whatever these ramen noodles were, they retracted into the bottom of the craft. These two prong devices retracted 90% into the craft, and then a hatch opened up on both the left and right-hand side, and these gooseneck lights popped out, and they were shining down below. So at this point, he starts getting very concerned for the safety of his family. He goes into the bedroom where his family's sleeping. He basically wakes up his wife, the two kids. They go back to the back bedroom window. They pull open the blind, and they see that large craft flanked on either side by the two smaller craft, and they're pulling power off the 500,000-volt power lines. And then something strange happened. The large craft went from a dead standstill to hovering over these low rolling hills in the background, did it in about 1 second, and then came back in 1 second. So within 2 seconds, this thing traversed like 50 miles. Just incredible. Within the book, we've got the sketch of what the craft looked like. This is the Sun Herald, Calusa, California, May 29th, 1979. You can see in this drawing this concave lemon squeezer dome section with these conduit pipes coming down with the frayed edges. So it's a very good sketch within the newspaper clipping. Now, at this point, this father is completely shocked. He's frightened for the safety of his family. He piles everyone into the pickup truck. So you can see it's this chaotic scene. The children are still in their pajamas. They're piling into the truck. They probably have their blanket still there, their pillow there. The wife piles into the passenger side. He starts going 90 miles an hour down the road. And basically, this craft starts following them. I'm talking about the large 140-foot diameter dish-shaped craft. Starts following them. Goes over to the left-hand part of the cab, over the top of the truck, over to the right-hand side where his wife is sitting, then goes back over to the driver's side. This is all taking place at 90 miles an hour. They come to the neighbor's house. He slams on the brake, and the headline here is Family Tells of Terror as UFO Chase Car at 90 Miles an Hour, San Antonio Express. And when they finally get to the neighbor's house, they basically start slamming on the door. The two neighbors come out, so you've got the original four witnesses plus the two neighbors see that large craft kind of depart at about a 60-degree angle at a high rate of speed. So this is the Calusa, California case. Very good case.
I would love to know what kind of power draw was recorded. Yeah, from those, and whether the power company, the local power company, would even be willing to let that information go.
Yeah, because it caused a blackout in basically all of Calusa that very night. Huh? So I looked for that. I couldn't find that clipping. So there should be something there, but the newspaper clippings describe the article in detail. So there should be a way to track this down. Maybe going through the power, they might have logbooks, so there should be a record of this.
But again, I mean, you know, we come to this where, and this isn't the only case. I mean, I know, I've come across a number of cases of UFOs being seen, you know, over high-tension power lines, seemingly to draw power. You know, if you're dealing with something that is able to travel, you know, intergalactic or, you know, interstellar system, the space, to get to planet Earth, why would they need to stop off at, you know, a primitive society electrical system to steal a little bit of electricity?
That's my point. It doesn't make any sense, right? Why would they need it? So is that another evidence of a man-made technology, or are they just brazen and they're playing with us?
I have a quick question before we go on. Do you have any cases in your book that cover the other kind of occupant, the grays?
Not so much in grays, but that might be book two where I get into crash retrievals.
Aha. Uh-huh. We can ask you more about that in a moment, what feelings you have, but we wanted to continue certainly looking at this group of cases. As you say, these aren't things that get a lot of emphasis.
Correct. They're more obscure. This one is more obscure. Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact that it was covered in the local newspaper and then in the CUFOs archives. But you know, you made a good point though about whether or not these things are just, you know, basically we're messing with us. When the family was fleeing, this ship obviously decided to harass them and, you know, and chase them. I mean, that's basically saying, you know, I'm here. Look at me. I'm following you.
I like that terminology used, harassed. That's exactly the right word for this. It definitely harassed them. That whatever this thing was, or whoever was flying this, had intent behind it. There was an intelligence behind this thing. There's no doubt.
Well, and that's, I mean, you've got a number of cases in this book where you see that same type of intent. You know, now in the PDF version, you know, that you sent us, I mean, you've got the Fat Frisbee UFO, where again, I mean, you know, people are driving in a car and, you know, the UFO is really making itself very obvious to the people in the car.
That's another case. Now, I think that was a little bit, I don't know if that one was particularly a harassment case, but the one that we just described certainly appears to be, yes.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm just basing that on the illustrations, which by the way, I love the illustrations, you know, in your book. I mean, your artist is very good with his.
Well, Tom Logan is the artist, and unfortunately, he's no longer with us, and I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Yep. So this is now a legacy and tribute to him at this point.
I'm sorry to hear that. So, but
yeah, so was I.
We're going to break here briefly with Michael, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're continuing now with the various unsung heroes or cases in the UFO field with Michael Schrat. The book is Dark Files. Gotten very, very good reviews on Amazon. In fact, the only unfavorable review it had was from someone who never read the book.
That's right.
What is your favorite case, Michael?
We just covered it. The Temple, Oklahoma case is my favorite.
Sure.
Because just the markings, the shape of the craft, the military insignia, the high-pitched drilling noise, the fact that it's 1966, so that gives you a 10-year jump on the technology, because the newspaper clippings talk about breakthroughs in 1955. So when you add it all up, yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite case.
You've got the one case in here, and I really have to, you know, applaud the witnesses to this one because of just the detail that they were able to observe. And again, Gene, I'm scrolling to get back to it here. There was a couple of them, actually. I mean, there was the one, the flying vanity light.
Correct.
UFO.
Yes.
In Connecticut, the observation of the like the enlarged socket detail and stuff. Do you want to describe that one a little bit to
sure,
us?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'll do that one. Now, I'm going to tell you where I got this case from. This case came from the Wendell Stevens collection. So the date is November 20th, 1956. It's Danielson, Connecticut. Primary eyewitness is outside, and she sees what's described as a half sphere. So just picture a beach ball cut in half with a butter knife. That's what this thing looked like. 25 feet across, and on the bottom of it, she said it had these sockets, and at the end of each socket was a different colored bulb. The whole thing was rotating, and if you look further into this, this is, again, in the book. On the bottom of this craft, these sockets were connected to a, you could say, a floor that was indented about 2 feet into the bottom of the craft itself. So there was this indented section. And the way she described these sockets is there was a ball at the end of them. They were illuminated. They all had a different color. But then stacked kind of on top of the vanity lights, we can call them, there were these three Dunkin' Donuts. And between these Dunkin' Donuts that were kind of a yellowish gold color, there were two black bands. So you've got these donuts separated by these black bands. And then on the bottom side of these donuts, and she did a very good, I know this is, case is true because this lady did a beautiful sketch. This is not a hoax. She saw this thing. You can just tell by her drawing that she saw this thing. She did such a wonderful job. I'm so impressed by the way she did this. And the way she described it is that on the bottom of these donuts, it looked like a Peruvian rug border or something you would see on Mayan or Inca pottery is the best way she described this. So I went ahead and did an AutoCAD drawing showing you what these sockets look like with the donuts and the black band. Then over to the right, which is in the book, I've got the enlargement, and I'll just read this word for word, kind of the way that she described it here. Resemble an ancient Arabic language, also look like the border of Persian or Oriental rug designs, reference design seen on Mayan or Incan pottery. That's what it looked like. And so, very interesting case. I completely believe it. Now, Linda Zimmerman tracked this woman down, but she died about 3 years ago. So she's no longer with us. And you know, that's the case now. Not only are we chasing the Undertaker, we're long beyond that now. And so we've got to preserve an important part of our national history.
But the other case that I was referring to with some just absolutely fantastic descriptions was the one in Venezuela, you know, on December 26, 1972. We referred to it as the, what is it, the flying ellipse, the flaming ellipse.
Yep. So when we talk about obscure and lost, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This case was forgotten about. It was obscure. It was lost. It was never talked about. I'm virtually certain it's never been seen by the public. It was never published in IUR. It was never published in APRO or MUFON or anything. So this qualifies as an obscure case. When I saw the case, I said, yep, that's one of them. That's one of these lost cases. So just to set this up here, December 26, 1972, Venezuela, primary eyewitness, this involved the husband, the wife, and their young daughter. They're on the top of their 14th floor apartment complex. They're looking off to the right where they always notice that there's commercial airliner passing by going to the local airport. So they were expecting this plane to show up at this particular time. And so when they were looking in the direction of where this quote-unquote airliner was supposed to come, what they saw instead was a orange, yellowish flame type appearance of a craft. It was no commercial airliner. Now, when this thing got closer, they could see that this was kind of an elliptically shaped craft. It's about 50 feet in length. It had two opposing hemispherical insulators. Again, think of a ball but chopped in two with about a 10-inch gap between the two spheres. And there was this continuous blue electrical arc going on between these two spheres. Now, the entire half on either side, and then also encompassing the back end of these, he said what looked like twin cast iron exhaust ports with this violet or purple colored electrical flame that looked like lasagna noodles coming out of this craft. This is the way he described this thing. There was a 5-page report. There was a very good detailed sketch. I believe it 100%. This guy's not lying. He's drawing what he saw. Now, what happened next is he talked to his daughter. He told her to immediately run next door and get a pair of binoculars from the neighbor. She did that. This is in the report. She ran back, gave it to her father. He looked through the binoculars and got a very detailed look at what this thing looked like. He described all the components. He described this electrical arc going between these two insulator halves. And then he described these very strange cast iron exhaust ports with what looked like an electrical discharge coming out of them that were violet. They were lasagna noodles. That's what they looked like. And these were not campfire flames. It didn't look like flames at all. To him, it looked like more of an electrical discharge. So in a nutshell, that's this case.
Well, once again, we're dealing with objects that seem to be using high-voltage electricity as some part of its propulsion system. And naturally, since I'm a Nikola Tesla researcher, it makes me think of the research that Tesla was doing in his lifetime with his Tesla coils and field propulsion and that sort of thing. And again, are we dealing with somebody who was able to take Tesla's technology and make that big leap?
Right. What it looks like, if you read these reports and look at the newspaper clippings, what the witnesses are describing, what it looks like to me is we've lost an entire century of our history. Someone did something a long time ago. You just mentioned Tesla. We have lost an entire century, and they have just left us behind. That's what it looks like to me.
No, it's... When we see all of these cases, involving UFOs. I mean, and I'm not going to go and just, you know, completely dismiss that the extraterrestrial hypothesis is outdated. But I think more and more we're seeing that a large portion of these cases really do, you know, seem to be working with some kind of human-made technology, albeit very, you know, very advanced human-made technology. One aspect of your book that we really haven't discussed too much yet is the USO phenomena. And that's something that I think for the longest time has been rather dismissed or just kind of buried. But, I mean, you've got some really excellent cases, you know, in your book that, you know, I'm really happy to see. And I think that more people need to be aware that there's probably even more cases of USOs reported than there are UFOs or UAPs.
Well said. That's well said. I totally agree. And for some strange reason, and I can't figure out why, USOs have almost been completely forgotten, not only just by the public, but even within ufology. They have not got the credit they deserve. And in my slide presentation, I try to highlight this fact here that the government-sponsored 1969 University of Colorado $600,000 Condon report failed to mention any USO cases. And then of the 1,517 foreign non-American cases categorized by Jacques Vallée, 50% were at sea. So here's the question. How in the world did they spend $600,000 of our tax money on this thing without even investigating 50% of the phenomenon?
We've got more to come with Michael, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.